for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Saturday afternoon service of December the 29th, 1990. Irma Miller is speaking. It's a deliverance service. This is the afternoon service at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds in Hot Springs National Park, the holiday week teaching and deliverance camp meeting.
For an hour. And his husband was trying to get some semblance, and even the pastor's wife called the day they came to see what kind of an outfit we were over here. And when I told them that my parents and I was raised in the Assemblies of God Church, well, that sort of cooled her, because that was her denomination, and you can kind of use that, you know. I didn't tell her that, but when I said, well, from what I hear from this husband, this girl is really full of evil spirits, full of demons. Oh, no, she says. Oh, no. Those are just her personalities. Well, you wouldn't have been in that room very long when these things began to manifest. But we got out. I said we got out the usual ones, the nice little skirmishes. And then the husband said, why don't you call up Twiggy? I wouldn't ever been able to handle this. I might have run out of there, even though we've been in deliverance for many years, if I hadn't seen it either on 60 Minutes or 2020, where that girl had all those different personalities and had been raped, and they were in court, and they had her. And I watched them. I watched her when they changed from one personality to the other. How many saw that on the news?
I don't contest.
Well, she probably was raped, but not the real self, not her. Well, we're not going to go in that now. But when I watched that on TV, I saw this vapor raise up out of her, where she'd become another one. And that's what happened back here in this nursery. When he said, bring up Twiggy, when Twiggy come up, there was a vapor come up out of that girl, and she changed. Her whole personality, her whole countenance changed, her whole body changed, and she was suddenly a flirtatious hussy. That's what I would call her. You know, out to seduce. And she began immediately to... Now, you may wonder why I'm telling this. Well, Jesus told all about all his deliverances, didn't he? Didn't he tell everybody that Mary Magdalene had seven devils? And didn't he tell Peter that, get thee behind me, Satan, and stop your trying to come against me? So don't get too worried about what I'm saying here, because you need to know these things. And so Twiggy immediately began to talk to Wally Odom. He was nice and young and handsome. And she told him, oh, you're handsome. You and I could really have some fun, so on and so forth. She said some pretty lewd things. And I just spoke up. I said, Wally, come against that seducing spirit. She was trying to seduce him. Those are the kind of women that seduce these preachers. Do you realize that? With flattery and all kinds of... And she was spreading it on. Well, we all started praying against seducing spirits and against Twiggy, and Twiggy left. So then her husband says, now call up Alicia. So when Alicia come up, she suddenly turned into something else. She looked like a giant to me. Her arms got strong. Her body got strong. Her legs got strong. She stood up and she said, you'll never cast me out because I'm not a spirit. So I said, well, what are you then? And she said, there's no Jesus. There's no God, there's no devil, there's no heaven, there's no hell. And I don't know, remember, she never did tell us what she was. I said, are you a fallen angel then? She said, no, I'm not a fallen angel. She said, none of you have any power to cast me out. Well, that's real humbling. And then as we began to come against this spirit, She said, I can tear every one of you to pieces. I said, I believe you. You agree with your adversary while you're in the way with him, you know. I didn't say, no, you can't. She'd have probably picked up about four chairs and hit us all over the head. She had it in her. She told those little girls every day that she was in operation. Sometimes she'd be out, up, or what do you call it? Whatever they called it, her husband, whatever he called it. she'd be in operation maybe for two weeks. And every day she'd tell those little girls, I'm going to kill your mother. I'll kill your mother. I'm going to take your mother away from you. Can you imagine what that would do to 5, 6, or 7, and 8-year-old children? They were just petrified. Well, we had started to pray at 7 o'clock in the morning. That's the Moody's idea of a good time to start to pray. And we had come over here at 7. And that was good. And Brother Moody is very methodical. He is the engineering type, and he had his pencil and paper. And we went down. We found out her father was a Hell's Angel. And we found out that when she was 3 years old, he began to molest her. And we found out that there was 14 people in her family, 14 children, every one of them by the same mother and dad, and that all of her brothers had raped her and some of her sisters. I sat there and wept when I heard her tell her story of this pathetic family life that she had had. And she said, now, I'm in here to protect all these other little ones that's in here. He said, now, she said, if you want me to, I'll call up Mary. Now, Mary is black, and she is mean. She'll tear every one of you to shreds. We just said, never mind. We don't want Mary today. But we kept binding that. Swear? I have never heard anybody swear in all of my life like she did. She said the most vile curse words that we have ever heard in all of our life there in that 2 or 3 hours we were in there, swore. And it was no more that sweet Christian girl and the wife of that man. It was no more her talking. And anybody that was an unbeliever, I'd think they would become a believer immediately. And we bound, and she would clench her fist to keep from coming out. And we finally... I don't remember what Brother Moody, he said. He said something anyway. He decided we should stop praying. It was 11:30 in the morning. And they hadn't had any breakfast. And they hadn't had any. And lunch was going to be served. And the girl was pretty well worn down. So we left it as is. Well, I felt like the disciples who couldn't get the evil spirit out of the epileptic, you know. And I sat at my desk one day and I said, Lord, why couldn't we get that Alicia out of that girl? I said, now, we fasted. We had fasted, I think, the day before. Yeah, we had, or on Thursday. We had fasted, we had prayed, and we quoted the Bible. I said, why couldn't we cast her out of that girl? And I sat there, and about in a few minutes, it just came to my mind about Brother Bunch that was here 10 or 11 years ago. And I took a list that he had given me, and I took it out. And you know who was listed on that list up at the top of the page? Alicia, head of all witches in the demonic kingdom. Now, I don't know where he got that. I'm going to keep perusing and find it, because she is right under Beelzebub and with Jezebel, but she is the queen of all witches. And the Lord always has a provision for everybody. And you know, you hate to turn somebody loose to go back to Maryland when you know that. But she came in church on Sunday morning. She was beautiful. She was just beaming. And the Lord had really touched her. And Wally Odom called his church to fasting and prayer, and we prayed every day. I don't think a day goes by that I don't bring her up before the Lord and her husband. See, he in that room, he said, these are not demons. My pastor told me they weren't. They're just moods or personalities. But I think by the time this all finished, he decided they were really evil. They were demons. And we all go through a learning process. And remember, you know, that those spirits did not come in her overnight. Dr. Null told Glenn afterwards, she probably was dedicated to Satan before she was ever born, when she was conceived, and maybe with a blood sacrifice, because he was a Hell's Angel in California. And anyway, the Lord had sent the Millers, no kin to us, we've been to their house for meetings. They live near Silver Springs, Maryland. And they had met this couple just at the fellowship hall in the meals. And right away they knew where to tell them to go to church, a deliverance church, a black church, and a black preacher. Now, she'd been here about 4 years ago. They started to come here, and they knew her somewhere. I don't know how they knew her. They went to her church occasionally, and they told her about deliverance, and she said, there's no Christian can have a demon. And she was very vehement, so she came over here, and half the time she didn't stay in the meetings. You can usually tell people that are terrible trouble with demons, they don't stay in the meetings. They're always out walking around, doing something, you know, going to town, or just staying out of the meetings. And she stayed out of the meetings, and she argued with them, and when she got home, she called them up, and she said, that was the craziest place I have ever seen. I don't believe one thing that they were doing was right. Wasn't the Lord. And so they started talking to her, and she started screaming at them over the phone, and they said, you can get in your car and come over here. Before it was over, they had cast so many demons out of that preacher that she was a believer by the time she left their house. And now she's got a...
Well, the devil took Laura and threw her underneath the piano in the house.
Yeah, threw her down under the piano. What made a believer out of her. And so she has a deliverance church now. And they were going to go to her service after they left here on Sunday. The following Friday night, they were going to have a deliverance service at her church, and they had a special speaker. And so Ed and his wife, these people went, and I think their name was Miller, too, weren't they? I think they were Millers. I don't know what's with all of us Millers, but anyway, they went to the meeting. They came to the meeting. They brought their three little girls, and the little girl, while she's getting ready to go to church, she says, Daddy, this is the very best week we have ever had, the best week of my life. And he said, well, why are you saying that? She said, because Alicia never came out. We had our mommy all week. She was mommy all week long. Alicia never come out one time and told us she was going to kill our mommy. So praise God for that. And just keep praying for that girl and that couple, because they have a long ways to go, but at least they are with now a Christian, a church that believes, and also with this with the Millers that live in Silver Springs. And they're going to... You all need help. We all need help. We need help. We need each other. We need each other to help us pray. We aren't in this battle alone. We need tremendous help. Have you had any experience, Brother Pittman, with Alicia or any head witches like that?
Maybe.
Maybe. Just by a different name. By a different name. And then I have a girl that's a professor at a college. I didn't know who she was, but she sent me an article about the crib deaths, about this Lilith. And she peruses in her... She teaches at a Baptist college, but she's Pentecostal. And that should be a good combination, you know. And she sent me a whole page, Xerox, out of the book of Isaiah about Lilith, the night monster who comes to kill souls. She comes to kill babies, see? And that's in the book of Isaiah in the original. Now, the other day, we were reading in that book, Dark Angels, and we had this experience. Well, a few years ago, we had experience with a prince. His name was Abaddon. And when we were praying and casting him out, we didn't know who Abaddon was. I never did study Greek mythology. I don't know from nothing about that. And I thought it was some Greek name, but he was very proud. They like to give their names, and they want you to get the right name. They don't want you to be calling them just a demon or something. And I think that's why she told us she wasn't a spirit, because she is a principality. She thinks she's a prince, I guess, right under Satan's authority. But it says in there about Lilith in the book of Isaiah. So you see in all these old translations, you can always pick up something. So in the book Dark Angels, it mentions several different spirits in there. This is Fuller Seminary, and that book is quite enlightening. They had this whole conference on deliverance, on names of spirits and everything. So they have in there about Asmodeus. And we had encountered Asmodeus here and found out by study in dictionaries and encyclopedias that he is the prince of, he's one of the princes over a principality, and he's very wicked, and he's against marriages, and he's against people holding their marriage or having a good marriage. And so the other day we were looking in that, and it said that it's in the book of Tobit. How many have ever read any of the apocryphal books of the Bible? And I was reading that out loud to Glenn, and I said, do we have an apocryphal? And he went in and got this old family Bible that your mother gave it to you, didn't she? Or is it one we found in an attic? My dad gave it. It's a great big, thick, old-fashioned family Bible, and it has the apocryphal in there in the book of Tobit. And he read in there about Asmodeus. And what does it say? He's a wicked prince or something?
His purpose is to destroy marriages.
And it says right in there in the book of Tobit. I thought that was kind of interesting. So this professor sent me this thing about Lilith. And so I wrote her a note the other day, and I asked her what she knew about Elisha. So right away she brought up a speaker that we had here 10 or 11 years ago, and she said, I was just listening to his tapes, and he's talking about that on his tape. Look how much we've missed over the years. We've had so many deliverance preachers here, and I took that tape home with us. It's the most atrocious tape, or else my tape recorder's not working right. You couldn't half hear it. You had to really strain, and the tape was really no good, the one I had. I don't know if they're all like that or not, but anyway, she had plowed through it. And so she told me she's going to look up and find out more about Elisha in the library, this Baptist library. And we need to learn about all these things, because evidently we're going to have to start encountering the higher echelon of evil spirits. Now, we've had this lore. I've always said we're only having skirmishes. We think they're bad, and they are bad. But I believe that we're going to have to fight these principalities and the powers in the high up heavenlies. And then that's where you need to be so careful. We have known the greatest of preachers to fall when they got high up in the spirit. And I think that should be a lesson to all of us, that we better watch out. The people who led us into deliverance were the most balanced preachers that I think I have ever sat under. They taught us on the tabernacle. They taught us on the first fruits. They taught us on the sons of God. They taught us on who we are in God, about Israel. They taught us deliverance. They taught us joy and praise. They wanted everybody to move into the gifts of the Spirit. He'd have whole workshops where anybody who hadn't given a message in the Spirit would line up on this side, and anybody who had never interpreted line up over here, and he'd go and lay hands on every one of them one by one, and if they said five words, or the person over here said three words interpreting, he would just be overjoyed as a teacher, you know, and you felt so like you'd been to church and got something when you'd leave that place. And he'd have everybody prophesying, and he'd ask for the spirit of prophecy to come over the audience. And he was the one. We went for 7 weeks. Glenn went every night. I was too mad to go some nights, and I didn't go. I hadn't been ever prayed for deliverance, and I was pretty scared of it. And I couldn't fathom how something could be inside of me and I wouldn't be able to control it. And I remember the organist that were very close friends of ours, one night in the middle of the service when this preacher was preaching, he screamed this most blood-curdling scream. And I went to him and asked him, I said, did you do that? Can't you control yourself better than that? He said, no. So I was thinking, ooh, my demons are liable to scream right out in the middle of the service, and I sure didn't want that. And I would not ever go. And then this was so gruesome. He used to have a bucket to set right in front, a wastebasket set right in front of the pulpit. He'd line everybody up that wanted to be delivered, and he'd walk down there, and he'd come against all these spirits and push your head down in that bucket. You'd vomit up these spirits. Well, I refused that. I told him, I don't want to get everybody out. I don't want to smell those other demons and get them all up in me. And I wouldn't be prayed for. But you know that dear man, he said the Lord showed him that five couples, he should go to their homes and pray for five couples, and we were one of them. And he called us up on the phone, because after the meeting was over on Sunday, I was so distressed that I hadn't gone up to be prayed for, and yet I was held so bound as a preacher's daughter, so bound in my theology and so bound. I believed it, and yet I didn't believe it. I believed it, but I didn't believe it enough to go up there to get prayed for. But he said, I'll come to your house. I thought, well, boy, that is great. Nobody will have to see this. Whatever I'm going to do, what these demons are going to do out of me. So he walked in, and I had my clothes basket lined. We had a real, real prissy house, and I didn't want anything to get on the carpet. And I had my clothes basket and the big beach towel down, and I had paper towels in there. And I wasn't going to vomit up in any waste basket where somebody else had already vomited their demons. It was all nice. He walked in, he started to laugh. He said, you're ready, aren't you? And I said, I am ready. And he began to pray, and he called out the most gruesome, horrible things out of me, about 25 of them, as fast as he could go. And I was waiting to throw up or something. You know, you'll get delivered like God wants to deliver you, not the way you want to be delivered. And all of a sudden, a great big poof came from way down inside of me and came up out of me, and I started praying in tongues immediately. I was throwing my arms around, and, you know, all good Pentecostals pray with their eyes shut, and I had my eyes shut. And he was standing down two steps lower. I was up in the higher, we had a sunken living room. I was standing up in the higher, in the dining room part, and he was down below me, and we were about eye level. I was throwing my arms around, and I touched him right across there, and when I did, the power of God hit him. He fell to the floor, and I went, oh, my demons have killed him. And I really believed that. I really thought that was what had happened. But I'm telling you, prophecy started to come out of me. It had been so long in our church that we had any move of God. I was so bound. How many feel you're bound in the spirit and you can't pray in tongues? You can't interpret. You feel like a dummy. You sit there, and I could always excel in everything, but I could never excel in the spirit. And I didn't know what was the matter with me. And you see, I had all these curses over me and everything, and God tremendously delivered me. But I want to get to this. Those same people, after 7 weeks, were so exhausted, they were invited up to the mountains to a friend of ours' parents' house that had cabins. And while they were there in their tired state, this girl's mother was deep into ultimate reconciliation, and she led this minister into ultimate reconciliation. She led him into it. And his wife would play that accordion. You know, we were so Pentecostal. Now, you remember, this has been, 20-some years ago. Nobody ever danced in our church. We were taught against dancing. And he would sometimes in the meetings, we were in a ballroom in a big hotel upstairs, and a rat hole type hotel downtown Los Angeles, and he'd have everybody put up all the chairs. We're going to dance before the Lord. Dance before the Lord. And she'd rev up her accordion. She had a big electric accordion. And she'd play, and some real praise song, and sing, and everybody, he wanted everybody to be in unity always. He always wanted everybody, if you're going to pray, everybody pray. Don't just one person pray. Everybody be in one accord. And they'd dance before the Lord, and all these wonderful gifts of the Spirit that he portrayed, and yet he went into this ultimate reconciliation. How many have ever heard of ultimate reconciliation? It means that they tell you that there is no hell, there is no devil, everybody's saved, and if you're not saved in this life, you'll be saved in your next life. That you have to believe in reincarnation to believe it. Actually, you do. You have to believe in reincarnation to believe it. You may not think you have to, but you have to. And everybody's going to be saved. And you know, this very couple, we loved them. We loved them. We supported them. At that time, we were working, had good jobs, and we supported them. And they just went and moved into a penthouse. They quit preaching because they got this new revelation. Isn't that pitiful, Brother Pittman? Isn't that pitiful? That man could preach. He'd stand and prophesy for an hour. I mean, it was all of the Holy Ghost. You might have said, now a lot of people will say, well, he's never been saved. Well, he certainly was saved. He was born again. But either, I don't know what came in, pride, but this power is so strong on your head. And about 4 or 5 years ago, they were living in Phoenix, and we were going to Phoenix, and we wrote them a note and said, we'd like to have dinner with you. We'll be in so-and-so motel. And when we got there, they had already called the motel and had a message for us. And they wanted to take us to eat the next night. So we went. Well, I cannot tell you the powers that came upon us from those people. They were saying, you are crazy to pray night and day. You are crazy to keep casting out demons. You don't have to do that. There's no devil. We just sat there totally spellbound. There's no use to argue with somebody like that. They know better. But you see, that's the enemy talking right out of them, and they don't realize that. And when we left there, Lynn and I both had something on our heads. It took us an hour or two to get that off of our heads so we didn't feel. You always feel mind-binding with those kind of spirits. And it's very elusive. It's very crafty. It's very deceptive because it sounds so good. Doesn't it sound so good that there's not going to be any hell? Yes? If I were you, I'd burn it. I'd burn it quick and get prayed for.
You don't need things like that in your house.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, I've never heard of him. But I'm telling you, it is a dangerous cult to get into. It is a cult. It is against God. It is against the Word of God. It is dangerous. It's as dangerous as going to fortune tellers. Probably worse. Because you know better.
The Lord has led us to be in places where we have been in meetings where these things were taught unknowingly. And God has led us and showed us so that we saw these things firsthand after this has happened.
Oh, one time we was invited to come and tape at Palmdale for, it was quite a big meeting, quite distinguished speakers. There was one lady there who was from Australia, I think, or New Zealand, and she would prance across the platform and say, "I'm going to walk arm in arm in heaven with Satan. If God isn't God, if he doesn't forgive Satan for his rebellion, or Lucifer." And she pranced back and forth and back and forth. And we thought, how in the world? That was a long, long time ago before we knew anything much about deliverance. But we knew good and well that there was something wrong. There was something strange in that service. One other time we were invited to a service to tape. And the preacher got up, he sang courses just like we sung here today. Everything seemed lovely. And when he got up to speak, his tongue came out of his mouth like a fang and went like this 2 or 3 times. I saw that and I said, "Lord, what are you trying to show me?" and he started in about going to he was thrown out of a church denomination for some sin. And he said, "I went to a Christian medium and laid on her couch while she took me back to all my former lives." And he had been a priest once. He was at the cross when Jesus was crucified. He went through all this rigmarole. But I'm not one to be, I'm pretty quiet usually, but I'm not one to sit still for something like that. And our friends had taken us, the very friends that were in this other meeting. And So when he finished, I put up my hand. I said, "Can I ask you a question, please?" I said, "If you've got the Holy Spirit, why would you need to go to a medium to find out what you're supposed to do?" And everybody in there, you know what they said? "Oh, she's not far along. She don't understand this. She don't understand this." I said, "I think I understand it more than what you think. This is demonic." And all the way home, this other couple was riding with us. They just kept saying, "You don't understand it. You're just not far along in the Lord to understand this." Well, you don't have to be very far along in the Lord to, when you see somebody's tongue come out of their mouth like fangs, you know there's something wrong. How many people have ever been involved in any cult, like the Masons or the Eastern Star or the or Jehovah Witnesses, or read those kind of books, or been involved with reading some of these books? How many people here have been involved in any of that? How many people feel you'd like to have some prayer about that? How many people have ever gone to a fortune teller or been playing with a Ouija board or something? Okay, how many people have ever had somebody trying to perform, taking warts off of you or healing you with some kind of hoodoo type stuff? Okay, that's all probably in the divination area. How many have ever been hypnotized by a dentist or even playfully hypnotized, or been around to a seance? How many's ever been to a seance? Or had handwriting analysis done? Yes, that's demonic. Yeah, something like that. And in California, in restaurants, they go around and do handwriting analysis. You write your name, and then they tell you all this flattery stuff. I had it done at the fair. I didn't know it was bad. Yeah, in L.A. and the Orange County Fair. And when we was getting ready to move here, I happened to go back in where the maid's quarters, which was our office at our home, and something hit me in the head. I said to Glenn, "What's in here?" Something hit me in the head. And he pulled out this. He had been going through my desk, cleaning out my desk drawers, and he had found this handwriting analysis thing in there. I'd forgotten I even put it in there from years back. I don't clean out my desk drawers very often, I guess. And let's see, how many has ever stared into a crystal bowl? Crystal ball. Nobody? Well, Doc has. It's not good, is it? We had one of the president's sons of one of the major candy bar companies come here. They brought him here. When he was a little boy, he and his little rich friends were in the basement having a seance. They didn't really know what they were doing. They got their mother's crystal punch bowl, turned it upside down, and started, somebody that knew a little bit more than this kid did, started doing some kind of hocus-pocus stuff, and a ball of fire came out of it and rolled across the floor. It scared this kid so bad that he began to jerk like this. They took him to every doctor and Mayo's and everything. Finally, they took him to Florida, and some preacher prayed for him down there, and he got healed. But he still had dregs in him, and he eventually came here for deliverance. He was over at Oral Roberts, and he was having a terrible time in school, and these things were still attacking him. So we need to pray about any of this kind of things. If you're real interested in witchcraft. I know one girl, she went to the library up here and she got every book on witchcraft that she could get and read it. Pretty soon she was one. Yes. Yes, inquiring of the devil. And you know, sometimes you can believe him. Sometimes you can ask him what his name is and he'll tell you, and sometimes he doesn't say anything. I don't believe in too much of talking to evil spirits in people. Well, what is the best way to get evil spirits out? Through repentance. Every one of these things that you have done is sin, and that's where the enemy can lodge in you, and that's where the enemy can hold you captive, is through sin that has not been repented of, or curses that have not been broken over you. And I think that we haven't even begun to touch the surface about curses that's on us. I really don't. I was talking to somebody today about curses that's handed down for 400 generations that God has put on us because of idolatry. We had a girl come here once that went every Sunday and talked to her dead uncle. That's necromancing, and she was out of her mind. But when we went to pray for her, I mean, the first thing she did was knock Glenn down and scratched him and made him bleed or something. That's how powerful that spirit was. These things are in you, or in us, and they have power. And when you stir them up, they begin to act up. So we're going to repent. Is that all right? Okay, let's pray. Dear Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Because we need help. And you say if we come, you will help us. And deliver us. We admit that we have done these things in ignorance. But Satan has picked them up and used them against us. He has come into us and caused us all kinds of problems. He's caused us mental problems. He's caused us to get divorces. He's caused us to have all kinds of hallucinations. And mind-binding things that talk, voices that talk to us. Lord, we want to pray and ask you to forgive us. Cleanse us from any part of the divination spirits. Every time we've been rebellious to authority. Every time we've worshipped idols. Even in ignorance. We ask you to forgive us. We ask you to wash us by your precious blood and cleanse out these sins so that when these evil powers come, they won't have any place. They'll find us clean and filled with the word and filled with the Holy Spirit. We ask you to help us. And we ask for the Holy Spirit to hover over us and apply the blood of Jesus to these sins. Awaken us, Lord, every time that we have sinned. Let the Holy Spirit teach us and show us what we need help with. We praise you. We're calling on you now to deliver us out of the hands of the enemy. For all sexual sins, all sins of procrastination,
all sins of addictions,
we ask you to deliver us from these things. From hypnotic spells, vexes, and all these things that would thwart us and keep us from growing in grace.
Help us to read your word
and understand it. We thank you for the light and the knowledge you've given us. And Lord, this afternoon we want to be free from all these harassing spirits. And we know, Lord, that when we call on you to deliver us, you will deliver us. We come honestly before you and thank you in advance for the deliverance. Now just allow the blood of Jesus to just penetrate down over your heart and mind and soul. The Holy Spirit's hovering here. The anointing is here to destroy these yokes on you this afternoon. We thank you, Jesus. Now you don't have to pray anymore, and don't say Jesus or anything, because they won't come up past that word Jesus. They'll just stay down inside of you. And we're going to start calling these out now, and you start breathing them out. This, I always tell people, it's like having a baby. When you have a baby, they tell you to bear down. They call that a deliverance. And when you are going to cast out something, the first meaning is vomit. Cast out means to vomit, give a deep breath, and breathe out. And so that's what we're going to do this afternoon. And we don't care what happens to how the devil acts. We're not going to pay attention to that. We're going to get delivered from all cults and all organizations that you've been involved with, anything like that. We're going to come against those powers in the name of Jesus. And you just sit there and don't pay attention to your neighbor and allow them to come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I bind all of the divination spirits, all the rebellious spirits, all of the spirits of magic and fascination and hypnotism, all the powers of voodoo that we've been born with. And in the name of Jesus, we command you to start coming out now. That's right. Just breathe them out. Let them go in Jesus' name. We command all of the craftiness of evil powers to come out, all of the addiction spirits, smoking, drinking, all of those, in the name of Jesus, we command you to come out of these people in Jesus' name. Come on out. That's good. You're doing wonderful. Just breathe them out. Let them go. Hate them in Jesus' name. All ultimate reconciliation spirits, all Jehovah Witness spirits, all Masonic spirits, all evil sexual spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Glenn, can you help a little? In the name of Jesus, come on out. Take some paper towels right back there. And brother, I think Dottie has some towels. That's all right. Come on out. Come on out. All kinds of cult spirits, all kinds of fortune-telling spirits, come on out. Fortune-telling spirits, we break the curses. We break the curses because Jesus was made a curse. You don't have to bear them curses. In the name of Jesus, come on out. Fortune-telling, divination, divining, rebellious spirits, come out in Jesus' name. All rebellion, come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Rebellion, addiction, I command you to come out now in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. All sexual spirits, come out. All unclean sexual spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Jesus defeated you. Jesus defeated you at Calvary. Come on out in Jesus' name. You are a defeated foe, Satan. And you know it. You better go in Jesus' name. We command you to leave in Jesus' name. Loose these people. Loose these people in Jesus' name. Loose these people in Jesus' name. All unclean spirits. All unclean spirits, I command you to come out now in Jesus' name. All homosexuality and lesbian spirits, seducing spirits, all kinds of sexual seducing spirits, I command you to come out in Jesus' name. All kinds of mind-binding spirits, mind-control spirits, in Jesus' name, come out. In Jesus' name, come on out in Jesus' name. All organizational spirits that's not of God, I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, you come out of her. Come out of her now. Fortune-telling, spirit of the witch, come out. Spirit of witchcraft, come out. Spirit of the witch, come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of not wanting to come under any authority, we bind your power in Jesus' name. Rebellion, all kinds of rebellion, come out in Jesus' name. All kinds of incantations, sensuality, come out in Jesus' name. All kinds of sensuality, come out in Jesus' name. Things you were born with, all these ultimate reconciliation spirits, come out. False Christ, come out. False gods, come out. Voices that talk to people, I command you to leave these people's ears in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go. Command you to leave in Jesus' name. You are a defeated foe. You have to go. All rebellion, go. All rebellion, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Rakandala bakusandala bandoria, kusandala bandoria. All infirmity spirits, come out. Infirmity spirits. Deformity spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Infirmity spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Cough them up. Let them go. Push them out. Push them out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Scott, could you pray for this little boy in purple because he'd been to a fortune teller, hadn't you? We've got to break the curse off of you, honey. In the name of Jesus, we break the curse off of him from going to seek other information from other gods. All the powers that he was born, that was born in him, we command those spirits to go now in Jesus' name. Command those spirits to get out in Jesus' name and go in Jesus' name. All spirits of divorce, go in Jesus' name. Spirits of divorce, spirits of fornication, spirits of adultery, command you to go in Jesus' name. All you fornicating spirits, go out in Jesus' name and leave in Jesus' name. All drunkenness spirits, drinking of wine or liquor, smoking of cigarettes. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave in Jesus' name. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for root out all the uncleanness in us. Root it out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you to come out. Come out of these people. Come out of them now in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. You are defeated. You must go. You must go. All false Christ, come out. False Jesuses, come out in Jesus' name. False Jesus, come out. All yoga spirits, worship of the masters, come out in Jesus' name. All worship of the masters, come out in Jesus' name. All lying spirits and thievery spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. You are a defeated foe. You are a defeated foe. You must go in Jesus' name. You must leave in Jesus' name. All mind control spirits, come out of their minds. Come out of their minds in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. All curses, we break the curses off of them in Jesus' name. We break these curses off of them in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we break the curses. We break the curses off of them in Jesus' name. Randala bakusandala bandalia, sunala bakandalia, sandala bandoria. Come out of Rosalie's mind in Jesus' name. Come out of her mind in Jesus' name. The anointing breaks the yoke. I want everybody to say, I denounce ultimate reconciliation. There is a Jesus. There is a hell. There is the blood of Jesus that cleanses me. I won't be able to sin and get by with it. I will have to have a judgment. And I hate ultimate reconciliation. And I hate all false cults and all false voices. And I command that to leave me now. Everything I've read that's not of God, I ask you to erase it out of my mind. I ask you, Jesus, to cleanse my subconscious. I praise you, Jesus, for the blood of Jesus. For the blood of Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Randala mandala bakasa. Everybody pray in tongues that's not praying. Randala bakusandala bakandalia basandala bakoria masandala bandoria. Kundalia basandala bandoria. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing that destroys these yokes. Praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. The anointing shall destroy the yoke. Hallelujah for the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the fire of God. Lord, I thank you for burning the dross out of all of us. Come against the powers of darkness over her. The shroud of darkness over her in Jesus' name. From her ancestral curses, we break the ancestral curses off of her in Jesus' name. We break the curse. We break the curses. All Satanism, come out. Satanism, anybody that's given their life over to Satan at one time or other, command all satanic powers to leave these people now in Jesus' name. Rana la mandoli amasanda. Rala makonda la basanda la mando. Rika masanda la banda. Yes, yes. All motor mouth spirits, all talkativeness, that's a sign. That's a sign that you've got divination spirits when you just talk all the time. That's an evil power of talkativeness. Divination spirits, come out in Jesus' name. All the powers, come against the powers of darkness in her. Death, powers of death over her in Jesus' name. Curse of death on her in Jesus' name. We break that curse of death, that blackness, that darkness off of her in Jesus' name, of her heritage. Coming from generations back, break the powers of her heritage. Coming down through the generations. Lord, I thank you for cleansing her blood. Cleanse all of our blood. Cleanse our blood, Lord, that you promised in the last verse of Joel. You were going to cleanse our blood that hasn't been cleansed. Cleanse us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise 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 you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said he breaks every fetter, every one of these bondages, these ropes, these chains. Command these chains to drop off of us. Drop off of us in Jesus' name. Let the light of the Lord shine in her. The light of the Lord shine in her. All the witchcraft she's inherited in her family line. We come against all the principalities and powers that hover over these people in the name of Jesus. All principalities and powers, we call you to naught in Jesus' name. We call you to naught in Jesus' name. We call you to naught in Jesus' name. All super independence, I can do it myself. Super independence, come out in Jesus' name. All super independence. All the powers, come against the powers of darkness in her. Death, powers of death over her in Jesus' name. Curse of death on her in Jesus' name. We break that curse of death, that blackness, that darkness off of her in Jesus' name, of her heritage. Coming from generations back, break the powers of her heritage. coming down through the generations. Lord, I thank you for cleansing her blood. Cleanse all of our blood. Cleanse our blood, Lord, that you promised in the last verse of Joel. You were going to cleanse our blood that hasn't been cleansed. Cleanse us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.